Okay, let's pray. God, thank you for this beautiful day. Thank you for this time to be together, one with another, and hear your word. Pray for the brothers and sisters around the world, for each one, for all those who are striving to do your will. Help us to have faith and to walk with you each day. Thank you, God, in Jesus' name. Amen.
Clayton is attentively listening right now.
Okay. We won't expect him to participate, I guess, but he can listen. Okay, Matthew chapter 26, verse 57. Is that right, Wilbur? Okay. It says, and those who had laid hold of Jesus led him away to Caiaphas, the high priest, where the scribes and the elders were assembled. But Peter followed him at a distance to the high priest's courtyard. And he went in and sat with the servants to see the end. Now the chief priests, the elders, and all the council sought false testimony against Jesus to put him to death, but found none. Even though many false witnesses came forward, they found none. But at last, two false witnesses came forward and said, this fellow said, I am able to destroy the temple of God and to build it in 3 days. And the high priest arose and said to him, do you answer nothing? What is it these men testify against you? But Jesus kept silent. And the high priest answered and said to him, I put you under oath by the living God. Tell us if you are the Christ, the Son of God. Jesus said to him, it is as you said. Nevertheless, I say to you, hereafter you will see the Son of Man sitting at the right hand of the power and coming on the clouds of heaven. Then the high priest tore his clothes, saying, he has spoken blasphemy. What further need do we have of witnesses? Look, now you have heard his blasphemy. What do you think? They answered and said, he is deserving of death. Then they spat in his face and beat him, and others struck him with the palms of their hands, saying, prophesy to us, Christ, who is the one who struck you? Now Peter sat outside in the courtyard, and a servant girl came to him, saying, you also were with Jesus of Galilee. But he denied it before them all, saying, I do not know what you are saying. And when he had gone out to the gateway, another girl saw him and said to those who were there, this fellow also was with Jesus of Nazareth. But again he denied with an oath, I do not know the man. And a little later those who stood by came up and said to Peter, surely you also are one of them, for your speech betrays you. Then he began to curse and swear, saying, I do not know the man. Immediately a rooster crowed, and Peter remembered the word of Jesus who had said to him, before the rooster crows, you will deny me 3 times. So he went out and wept bitterly. So, remember that earlier in this chapter, Jesus had warned his disciples that they were all going to deny him. And Peter had said, no, not even if I have to die for you. Even then, I wouldn't deny you. But he still denied Jesus. He said he didn't know who he was. He even began to curse and to swear. It's interesting how easily sometimes we forget. Even though we think we know what we should do, we know what we should do, it's easy to forget. Even if Jesus hadn't told Peter, even if he hadn't warned Peter, Peter should have known not to do this. He should have known that it's wrong to say that he doesn't know him. He should have known that. But even with Jesus warning him, he still couldn't remember until the rooster crowed. Then he remembered. He remembered what Jesus had warned him. And he was sorry. He wished he wouldn't have, but he had forgotten. Maybe for next week, for the boys listening, you all can share something about remembering, either a time in your own life or in the Bible, about, like Peter here, just having good intentions or thinking that you knew what you were going to do, but you forgot. Okay.
King David did the right thing when he told Saul, but he spared his life because Saul was God's anointed.
So, I picked out Peter. We learned in the boys' lesson that he did stumble a few times, but he was faithful to the end. They eventually crucified him. So he stood faithfully. And yeah, Jesus had told him, he had asked in Matthew 19. Then Peter said to him, "Behold, we have left everything and followed you. What then will there be for us?" And Jesus said to them, "Truly I say to you, that you who have followed me in the regeneration when the Son of Man will sit on his glorious throne, you also shall sit upon 12 thrones, judging the 12 tribes of Israel." And then he goes on. "And everyone who has left houses, or brothers, or sisters, or father, or mother, or children, or farms for my name's sake, will receive many times as much and will inherit eternal life." So that's what maybe could help us stand. And like Peter stood at the end.
Polycarp was one of the early Christians, and he had learned from one of the apostles, I think it was John, and he was going to get killed for his faith, and they tried to burn him, but the Lord didn't let them just burn him. They had to cut him up before they did. And one thing that helped him stand faithful was that the Lord had died for him and was just more than deserved it completely.
I thought of the Maccabees family. Judah Maccabees, one of the boys, they were valiant for the Lord, and they another kingdom was coming in there and going to take over their city and destroy the temple, but they fought valiantly for the Lord, and they won back their city and cleansed the temple, and their father was valiant for the Lord, and that's what helped them decide what to do.
I read a story about a slave, and when he was a boy, the slave master's son taught him how to read. He didn't know he wasn't supposed to. But when he grew up, he would go around to different plantations on Sundays, the only day they didn't have to work, and they would he would preach to the other slaves. And his master didn't like that, and he would whip him every Monday after Sunday. He said, "If you don't want to get a whipping on Monday, don't preach on Sunday." And he just kept doing it over and over, and he said, "I don't want to whip you, and I don't want to have to whip you, so don't preach on Sunday." They thought that the other slaves needed to know about Jesus and be encouraged because they were in a really hard position. And finally, he was about to whip him, but then he saw there wasn't any place to whip left. His back was all cut up, and he asked them why he still kept preaching to him, and he told them that it was... He knew that if he just kept on doing what was right, even though he would be punished, he wanted to help all the other slaves and everything. And anyway, so the slave master ended up not whipping him. Later, the slave master was dying, and he had the slave pray for him, and he lived, and he became a Christian, and he set the slave free.
I was reading through the book of Daniel, and there's some real neat stories about how he stood firm. In the whole book of Daniel, there's not one place where Daniel actually sinned. And right at the start, there was a woman named Susanna that was accused of doing something real bad, and so she was going to get put to death, but she was completely innocent. And Daniel, he was just a young man, but he stood up and used his wisdom to prove that she was innocent, so then the two bad men that were accusing her, they got killed.
I thought about Numbers 14, after the children of Israel had sent 12 spies into Canaan. Some of them came back with bad reports, and some of the people were talking about going back to Egypt, and Joshua and Caleb stood up and said, "No, God will help us to conquer the Canaanites." And then so they were able to see through hard times, and they trusted God that helped them.
I thought about Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego when the king, when they didn't bow down to the idol and stood firm to their God, they were willing to go through whatever it took because they could see past fire and death. So that helped them go through. And sure enough, God spared them of the fire.
Job stood for the right and just and was faithful even though everything of his was taken away. And he was able to do that because he knew that Jesus was real.
I had William Tyndale. He translated the Bible into English from, I'm not sure what language it was in, Greek or something, but he knew he wasn't supposed to do it. It was against the law to do it, but he knew what was right, and he did it so other people would learn about Jesus. And he knew he wasn't supposed to, but he just knew what was right and did it.
I thought about Stephen. He was preaching God's truth and was killed for it, but he was preaching for God's truth and didn't like it. They didn't like it, and they killed him for it.
I had Peter, some thoughts about Peter. This is how I thought about how the disciples and Peter were rebuked several times, and you just see the humanity, even in the chosen men of God that were his disciples. And you see that Jesus was a shepherd that led, and even the men who we look up to in the Bible as being so in such a high position, they still had to be led as sheep. And so Peter, being rebuked many times by Christ, at one point he was rebuked for not savoring the things of God but the things of men, when Jesus was talking about the death that he was going to die in. And then also Peter's denials, and I just thought about, well, what enabled Peter to make it at the end and to die and to live for Christ? And well, I just thought that it was because he listened to those rebukes that Jesus gave him. And if we don't, you know, our parents and people that are above us, when they rebuke us, they do it because they love us and they actually see where our lives are, our decisions we're making are leading us, and they can see it's going to be bad, and they know how to lead us to what's good. And so I just thought, instead of, like, when we get rebuked about something, instead of getting defensive, to actually be thankful for it and realize that it's those things that we're being led to, you know, and we're like sheep. And if we listen to those rebukes, that's how we're going to make it. And even if we have to suffer some in this life, we'll make it because we love what's good. And we know that the people that are helping us, they actually love us. And we do it because we love them, and because they love us. And that love is a choice.